We're going to turn back to the story of Jehoshaphat. I know we've spent a couple of weeks here. But this is in 2 Chronicles in chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The story, just to catch you up, is that Jehoshaphat is a king of Israel, and there are several nations that come up against them. Nation of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. And they are outnumbered, and they are in what seems like quite a jam. And so they spend some time fasting before the Lord, and then all of a sudden the Lord gives them a word. A word which says, this battle's not yours, but it's the Lord's, and that all you're going to have to do is stand still and then watch God do amazing things. And that is about where we left off with this, and where we're going to pick up today. And that is around verse 17. We'll read verse 17 as well of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Before we do that, I'd like to bow our heads and pray for the word. Father, we come to you and we thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day that you've given us. We thank you for the strength to come here. Lord, and I ask you, Father, that you would anoint your word, that it would come forth with power, and it would bring answers and bring deliverance, and it would bring encouragement, Lord, whatever is needed among your people. For you see the hearts and the issues and the things that are going on, and we entrust ourselves to you today, Lord. Use me for your honor and glory. And I pray, God, that you would just touch my lips, that they would just be useful in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to start again. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 17. This is part of the word of the Lord given to them. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. We'll stop there for a moment. It's a strange battle plan to send singers out against an overwhelming enemy. To send the singers out first. Can't imagine being a general and presenting that to the president and saying, we got a quite a big battle out here. Can you imagine old General Petraeus? Well, Mr. President, I think our battle plan is going to be we're going to lead with the choir. We're going to have the Marine Choir and the Army and all. Well, I think that's the way to go. We're going to have them go out there and they're going to sing and they're going to praise the Lord. I doubt if that general will make it too far. But this seems to be the battle plan. Praise the Lord. Let the singers go first. And notice that as they go first, usually we like to sing and we like to praise after the victory. But they're told, praise the Lord before the outcome is known. Praise God before you know anything. While it still looks bad, while it still looks like the enemy's going to defeat you, while it still looks like there's no hope, begin to praise the Lord at this time. And we have a lesson in there for us. Because it's very hard to praise the Lord during those difficult times. It seems to be the last thing that we want to do is praise the Lord and sing to the Lord during the difficult times. But this is the first thing that they do. And we sing to the Lord and we praise Him, not because of our problems, but because He is worthy, no matter what our problems is. He is constant. He is worthy of praise whether we're in a jam or whether we're in good times. Whether there is troubles or whether there is none, He is worthy to be praised. And earlier, as Jehoshaphat prayed, he said, "Our eyes are fixed on you. We don't know what to do, God, but our eyes are fixed on you." And when our eyes are fixed on the Lord, you can't help but praise Him. So this is just a natural extension of our eyes being on the Lord. And as our eyes are on the Lord, praise is naturally what comes forth. Our eyes are on the Lord. And He's following the word which says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Where the normal plan would be all kinds of strategic things to do in battle, stand still. Let's sing. Let's praise the Lord. Have you ever seen somebody who's just a natural singer? They just like to sing. They sing in the morning. They sing it. And that person, rarely they're depressed, because the singing seems to drive away all the bad thoughts, all the bad things. You can't really be depressed and sing, unless maybe you're a country singer. And so he says, sing to the Lord. And we know, have you ever been in that situation where you're troubled and you're really agitated and you hear somebody singing? You kind of look around and you just want that person to stop. You don't want to hear singing when you got troubles. Have you ever been in the car and the radio's on and you're singing along with the radio, and then all of a sudden you make a wrong turn and you don't know where you are? The first thing you do is say, "Shut off that radio. Turn that thing off." Like it's the big bother. Like it's the thing that maybe you should turn it up instead of turn it off. So it's natural to go through this kind of this thing of singing. It's actually not natural to go to singing when there's troubles. But he says, praise the beauty of holiness. And when you look at the Lord and you realize that part of God's holiness is that He's so unlike us. He's so different than everything that we know. That is part of being holy. Yes, it's part of it's being separate. It's being distinct. But part of being holy is being so different than us. And don't we want somebody who's so different than us? Because we don't know how to handle things. We want somebody who does know how to handle things. And that's our Lord. Praise the beauty of His holiness. Praise Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His grace. These are the beauties of His holiness. This is what we should be praising, what we should be reminding ourselves of when the enemy is gathering around. And when it looks like he's too big for us to handle, look to the One. Look to the One who is beautiful and holy and able to handle all the things that the enemy throws at us. And so he praises before he knows the outcome. In verse 22, we're going to go on. And he says, "Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And they were defeated, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another." So as the singing begins, what happens is these nations turn against each other and they destroy each other. And then when they destroyed the one, then they turned and destroyed the other. And Israel, true to the word of the Lord, did not have to fight in the battle. They did nothing. They did no fighting at all. All they did was singing. So singing was actually the right battle plan. But what we see here is actually that praising the Lord could be more than just singing. It could actually be an offensive weapon against our enemies. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. It's a nice story, but I don't know how it applies to my life. Singing can be an offensive weapon against the enemy. Maybe you don't believe me, so I'll show you in the Word of God. I'm going to have you do something. It's going to be real tricky. I'm going to have you put your finger in Chronicles and then turn over to Matthew. Matthew 20, 21. Because you kind of have to see this to understand what's going on. So Matthew 21, verse 14. We'll start there. Matthew 21, verse 14. And it says this, "Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' praising him, they were indignant and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.'" Okay. Now, here comes that tricky part. Put your finger there. Now turn over to Psalm 8. So I know your fingers are in quite a bit of use. But it's important. You'll see why. So you have Psalm 8, you have 2 Chronicles, and you have Matthew 21. Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2. Y'all there? This is what it says. "Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger." This is the verse that Jesus is quoting. When he says, "You have perfected praise," in Matthew 21, he's quoting the verse which says, "You have ordained strength." Ordained strength can be replaced by perfected praise. You think Jesus just didn't know the verse? You think he forgot it, or maybe made a mistake, or maybe he's like one of our youth? Got to look at his Bible a little bit while he's reciting his memory verse. No, he knew what he was saying. Perfected praise means ordained strength as well. When you praise the Lord, you're increasing your strength. When you praise the Lord, when you sing to the Lord, you're increasing your strength. Whether you believe it or not, here it is. Ordained strength comes by praising the Lord. And it's not just strength for strength. It has a purpose. It says you have this strength because of your enemies, and that you may silence the enemy and the avenger, which is exactly what happened in Jehoshaphat's day. They praised the Lord and the enemy was silenced. They praised the Lord and the avenger was taken care of. You thought you were just singing. You thought you were just singing. Understand the weapons that God has given us. Praising the Lord brings ordained strength, according to Jesus. And he would know, because he's the one that we seek after. Ordained strength comes from our praise of our Lord. And we see it demonstrated here in the case of Jehoshaphat. As they praised God,
The enemy turns on himself. They don't even have to fight. They don't even have to lift a finger. All they have to do is lift their voices and lift them high to the Lord. And the enemy is destroyed right before their eyes. I'm going to have you turn to one other place to drive this point home, Psalm 149. You can take your finger out of the other two places, but we will go back to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. Psalm 149, verse 5. The whole psalm is basically about praising the Lord. It's a great psalm, but we're going to start midway through. In verse 5, it says this, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. And this is the reason, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints." Praise the Lord. As they sing to God, they sing with praises in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hand, and we know that the two-edged sword is the Bible. We have praises to God in our mouth, the Bible in our hand. The enemy is routed. The enemy doesn't have a chance. Whether it's nations, whether it's kings, whether it's nobles, we have the ability to execute judgment on them as we sing to the Lord. Singing on our beds. Singing as you go to sleep. Sing aloud to the Lord. And the enemy is driven back. Praising the Lord, singing to God is an offensive weapon to drive back the powers of darkness. And it says, this honor have all the saints. If you're part of the sainthood, which you are if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord, this honor is yours. Here it is. It's given to you. Sing aloud. See the enemy driven back. So why not praise the Lord is how he ends. So praise the Lord. Don't you see what it will do? So praise the Lord. Don't you see that you have this honor? So praise the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Singing to the Lord, which seems like, well, it shouldn't do anything. Shouldn't we be the big macho guys that are clad with armor and all that? There's times. But praising the Lord is also very powerful. Very powerful in his kingdom. Do you remember Paul and Silas as they were in prison? As they're in prison, in shackles, guarded, without much hope, waiting maybe to be executed. Who knows what the king's desire was, but they were not in control. But what they did was they sang and they prayed. It says they found them singing and praying. Singing and praying. And during their singing and praying, an earthquake all of a sudden rattles everything. Their chains are broken. The doors are open. Singing, praising the Lord, executes vengeance on the enemy, pushes the plans of the enemy back. And they are set free. And not only are they set free, the jailer actually sees, wow, God is with them. I want this God. And not only him, but his whole family go. And you know, they had to clean him up. They had to clean these men up because they were all beaten and bruised. And through all of that, they're still singing. They didn't make excuses for themselves and say, oh my goodness, well, I'm just a bloody mess. Woe is me. I can't sing at this time. Let's turn the radio off. But no, they lifted their voices so that everyone could hear. And God brought a great deliverance to them. Because that's what happens. And you say, well, it doesn't really make sense. But in Psalm 22, It says that God inhabits the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praise. So when you praise the Lord, you are enthroning Him. You are giving Him a place to inhabit and come. And when God arises, His enemies are scattered. He inhabits our praise. So as you're watching the Gaithers or whoever you watch or whoever you like, and you're singing along, you're doing a battle. You have the power to push back darkness with your singing and your praising to the Lord. Because as God arises, His enemy scatters. The mountains melt like wax before Him. And when He comes and when we praise, He inhabits those praises. And things melt away when He arises. Isn't it a beautiful thing? Let's go on. So verse 24. So when Judah, this is in 2 Chronicles now, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 24. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were there dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, with Jehoshaphat in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. So they came to Jerusalem with stringed instruments and harps and trumpets to the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So we see that God, He gave them a tremendous victory. And God has a way of doing that. He has a way of pulling victories out of what look like certain defeats. In such unconventional ways, in such unthought of ways, He's able to do that. And not only did they get a victory, they got 3 days worth of spoils. Amazing how God worked all of that out. And sometimes God does allow the enemy to come against us. Sometimes the enemy does look like he's outnumbered us and like we have no way out. But notice here, it might have been okay that God allowed the enemy to come, but it was not okay that the enemy defeat them. It was not God's will for the enemy to triumph. It was God's will for His people to be triumphant over the enemy. And they blessed the Lord. And now comes the normal part. It's very easy to bless the Lord after such a great victory. And they use singing again. They use singing again to bless the Lord after the great victory as well. They praised Him before, but now they praised Him after. They might have been uncertain about what was going to happen, but God brought a great deliverance through just their praise of Him. And that inspired them to praise Him even more. And the fear of the Lord came on all the nations around because they said, wow, a God, they serve a God who could bring them through such an enemy through such a small thing as singing. We serve the same God. We serve the same God who says the same things to us. This is the same heritage that you have as well. It's given, this honor is given to all the saints, which we are. So let's use Let's use our voices and praise the Lord. Maybe you have a terrible voice. You probably don't have one worse than me. I think my range of singing now is around 6 notes. I can't sing at all, but it kind of reminds me of when you see a little child singing, and you know they're off tune. You don't go up to them and say, "Ah, you're too pitchy." You know, stop. You just smile and you say, "Wow, a kid's trying to do it." You know, it's kind of cute. It's kind of a wonderful thing just to see the kid sing, and you know, he sounds terrible, but it's okay because it sounds good at the same time. And that's the way I envision God sees me. He says, "Oh man, he sounds terrible, but boy, he sounds good." Because he's praising from the heart. And it doesn't matter if you have a bad voice or a good voice. I think in heaven, I remember one time asking the Lord when we were in the city and we had no singers, we had no instruments, we had nothing for years and years and years. And I remember asking God, this sounds just terrible, And I remember him just in my spirit saying to me, in heaven things sound so much better than what you have on earth that it all sounds about the same. Whether it's this good or that good, in heaven it's so much bigger, it doesn't matter. It all sounds about the same to me. That doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for excellence. But he said, don't worry about how you sound. Do your best, and I take care of the rest. Let's use our praise to the Lord and use it as a weapon against the enemy. Drive him back with the praise of your mouth. And may the Lord give you victory after victory. In the name of the Lord be praised.